Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
So, I have thoughts on this show.
What? That is not what we're known for.
I know, it's crazy. Having wildly outlandish opinions on pro wrestling shows that happen.
Who would be interested in that?
No one. I don't know.
Hey, who are those handsome gentlemen?
But if you are, give us a call.
Yeah.
Biff took 2 different selfies to get that out there, and they're both blurry. That's the keeper. But Biff is here.
Wait, I gotta see. Is it on Twitter?
Biff, say hi to 15 countries.
Yeah. Hi, 15 countries.
You're muted.
So I said it for you. It was like a
hello to 15 countries.
Hi. Yeah, what did you have portrait mode on? What the hell happened?
Yeah, we're blurry. The belts never had a chance to shine. They're so beautiful.
Also, my favorite part has to be the dehumidifier. Yep. Front and center. we definitely need to get an NAI sticker if this is going to happen again.
Yeah, it was hard enough to get you all in the picture. That was the best I could do.
Yeah, my favorite part about the picture has to be the NAI sign that's over my head.
Painted by Lexi.
Painted by Lexi.
Huge shout out to Lexi Arbusto, really to all of the Arbustos. Yeah. But Lexi Arbusto, credit to for the hand-painted NAI sign featuring Jason, Liam, and Bill. It is a work of art made by a very talented young lady. So thank you so much.
Before we also start the show, I do want to shout out to Chip, who believes that doors that cut in half are so that we can speak to horses.
For those who didn't hear Chip. The Extreme Rules preview show, Chip came over last night. Let's say that Chip... Biff and I are experienced in the art of having fun. Chip is more of a novice in the art of having fun.
Yep.
He had a little bit of fun and then sat there and proceeded to become like that girl from the commercial where she like ran out of air and like deflated on the couch.
Yeah, she was so high. She just...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she becomes a flat person.
And Chip goes... So we're watching because we're wrestling fans and we're hanging out. And we're watching Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. We're not going to talk about Hulk Hogan tonight, I promise.
Yeah, no.
Guess what? He wasn't part of this show.
No.
It's irrelevant. But we were watching wrestling stuff. One of the matches being stuff from WrestleMania 18. We watched a bunch of stuff, all different things. And Molly Holly takes that legendary bump where she's running down the hallway.
It just walks into a door.
And Christian slams door. And the door's weird because it's like cut down the middle so you can close the bottom, the top, or both. And Chip just goes, why do they have a door that can open at the top? And I go, so you can open up the top part and talk to the horse.
Yeah.
And Chip goes, oh, okay.
It just accepts it.
No further questions, Your Honor.
The funniest part about that has to be there was something that was like very legitimate that happened like moments later where it was just like, why does this happen? And it's just like, oh, well, the rules are X, Y, and Z. And he questioned that.
Right. But not.
But not the horse.
But not whether. Yeah. Like I told him, he was like, this guy is like a former Intercontinental Champion or something. Are you sure? I'm like, that part you're like raising an eyebrow at. But when I went, they opened up.
It was also like Scott Hall too.
When I open up like, the top half of the door to talk to the horse in the Sky Dome. That didn't make
that didn't have any red flags.
We're going to talk about WWE Extreme Rules 2018 tonight. We're also opening up the phone lines and taking your calls.
Indeed.
508-202 16:24.
Yeah.
We see you out there listening. We see you out there already chatting and having a good time with everybody. Reese says hi, Biff, and hello hey, to Reese. And hi to everybody out there listening. Get your calls in. Anything and everything. WWE Extreme Rules
on the table.
Is on the table. Give us a shout. 508-202-1624. 508-202-1NAI. Do we have a call on the line?
We do.
We're just going to start there.
Let's rifle through them.
Open up these phone lines and get your thoughts out there. Let's hear it. Who we got?
Anthony in Fort Worth, Texas gave us a call. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, guys. So pretty much I have a problem with Carmella winning again.
Yeah.
She, to me, like you said earlier, like she's a horrible professional wrestler. When it comes down to it, she literally did nothing tonight. And then the Alexa Bliss match
awesome.
With Nia Jax, I feel like they both did just not that very well, good of a job. I think the most fun was when Ronda Rousey came in and kind of just destroyed Mickey James. Other than that, I mean, yeah, I think that they've completely ruined Asuka. You had somebody that had a 500-day streak, and now she's lost, what was it, 3 pay-per-views in a row now? So I think that they've just – she's gone straight down to the toilet.
It definitely feels like a long way from winning the first Women's Royal Rumble.
Right.
I'll definitely give you that.
Absolutely.
Anthony, thanks so much for giving us a call. We're going to take as many as we can, but we're going to start talking about those very
women.
Points. Yeah, exactly. Let's just start with what Anthony wanted to talk about. As we take a call from Texas, we can take a call from you anywhere in the world at 508-202-1624. 508-202-1NAI. Let's talk about two parties here because Anthony brings up two great points. Let's talk about Carmella first, but I definitely do want to talk about Asuka separately from that, not just tonight's match. Carmella, it's frustrating to hear this, but it's like a wrestling thing that I think sometimes people do need to hear.
Yeah.
Me included, by the way. I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
We're supposed to hate Carmella this
much.
Oh,
yeah. Well, that's my thing, is that Carmella is playing this character very, very well, and what WWE is asking her to do is great. You're supposed to be so mad that she won tonight, because this is how Carmella is winning. She's winning in these fashion where it's fluky, backing into it kind of wins. Yeah, having Asuka get so mad and just beat the hell out of a pinata James Ellsworth, right, is a ton of fun. But yeah, Asuka takes her ball high off the prize. Carmella sneaks in, hits her in the head with what is, in theory, a solid metal shark cage.
Yeah.
And
banged her head
her.
Off a big metal beam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the breaking point when it comes to Carmella, right? So having a wrestler be a bad guy and be a bad guy champion and win dastardly ways so you hate them and you feel cheated by their matches and you're so mad and if only they would play by the rules and et cetera, et cetera. That is as old as pro wrestling
so
itself.
Wrestling.
The issue, I think, the breaking point when it comes to Carmella specifically is this, is that in a world where this roster is so, I'm talking about kind of fan perception here,
right?
Is that this roster is so loaded, and while Becky Lynch and people like that that a lot of fans love and feel isn't doing much, while she does nothing, Carmella gets to play the bad guy champion that beats all these people and irritates you. And here's the thing about Carmella. She is better than I think we think she is, but she's still the poorest of a very talented bunch.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, for me and Carmella. I see we already got another call. We're going to take it. But with Carmella, the thing was with Asuka is I wonder what's the payoff here, because it almost feels like Ronda Rousey should be on SmackDown here. So this girl's beaten Charlotte and Asuka and thinks she's the king of the hill, queen of the hill. And all of a sudden Ronda Rousey comes around and goes, absolutely not, I'm Ronda Rousey. Because my question to you is, what's the payoff here? She's going to beat all these established people just to say that she did. And then what? Who's going to beat her? And is it just going to be Charlotte to get her even, because it, again, this feels like a third party should come in and eat all that momentum from the bad guy, and I don't see that third party on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's the problem for me.
Well,
that's fine, because you know, you never know who the shining white knight is. It might be a new attitude Becky Lynch, right? It might be one of the people that you're talking about.
Might be Naomi. They really do like her.
Right, it might be Naomi. The thing with Carmella and what WWE fans need to, and that's going to be the theme of this show for me, is WWE fans need to check themselves, right?
Before they wreck themselves?
Before they wreck themselves.
Wow.
Yeah, because, but seriously, they need to check themselves, because what do you want this show to be?
Yeah.
Right? And that's going to be the question I'm going to ask several times during this post show.
And Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, right back here on NewAgeInsiders.com and twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk about it then, too, because there's so much to talk about this show.
Right, and it's like, what do you want this to be? Because you want to say that there's more talented people that are playing the bad guy, but then at the same time, if you talk about somebody that's been playing the bad guy for forever, how bored did we get with Randy Orton, right? Just being the bad guy. So what do you want? Do you want it to be new, fresh, and exciting, or do you want the status quo?
Let's go ahead and take the call, but mentally, Bill, your job, check a way that... Let's not forget to talk about Asuka, because I do think now there are things to start talking about. I am not panicking because it's not that time, but it is. It's a bad trend, and we'll talk about that too. 508-202-1NAI. Who's on the line?
James in Mississippi is on the line. Go ahead, James.
Hey, good evening, guys. Love the show as always.
Thank you,
good
buddy.
To be back.
Thanks, James.
I love actually what you guys are talking about with Asuka. And here's the thing. I think you guys may have, may have talked me off the ledge a little bit. Cause I wasn't happy with her losing at Mania. I mean, I understood it, but I wasn't really happy with it. I was there. I didn't really like it. I thought that it should have been her time. My only issue is that, you know, she was undefeated for so long. She was so dominant. I know she's got to lose at some point, and I guess WrestleMania was probably the better time to do it. But my only problem is now you've given Carmella two victories over her, whether they were tainted or not. It is what it is. But I think you've just downplayed the entire legacy of what she was before and even during her time that she's been there. She was this undefeatable, unstoppable person, and then you have someone like Charlotte who came in, and Charlotte's a competitor that I saw her losing to, maybe not as early as she did, but she's somebody I can see. But Carmella, I love her talent. I love her personality right now. She's got the Seth Rollins laugh when he was a heel, and I love that. I love how she's doing it. I'm okay with, you know, her winning, but my only concern is where do you go from here with her? And to be honest, I don't really know, because she's not, you're making her look weak at this point. And that's not what you need to do with Asuka. You have to make her strong. You have to make her that character that when the champion sees Asuka walking down the ramp, you go, holy crap, this girl's going to kill me. It's the same thing with Ronda Rousey.
Right. So let's talk about it. Because we're going to talk about Asuka. Now's the time. James, thank you so much, man. We love hearing from you. We're going to talk about Asuka right now. Thanks so much for giving us a call, buddy.
You're welcome.
You got it. 508-202-1624. 508-202-1NAI. So let's talk about it. This is the thing. Again, let's talk about the breaking point part of these things, because in wrestling, everything is recycled. Everything is the same kind of formula until we reach the payoff point. Now, the payoff point with Carmella and Asuka, here's where they intersect. I was okay with... Let's talk about it right from the very beginning with Asuka.
Right.
I was totally okay with Asuka losing to Charlotte, because what I've mentally accepted is the goal here for the women's division, it feels exactly to me like I told you guys off the air. In 2008, whether we liked it or not, the goal of the men's division was to cement John Cena as one of the biggest names ever in the history of pro wrestling. We didn't have to like it. It was going to happen, and that was the goal for the men. Everything wound up circulating and revolving around John Cena getting over and being the man.
Correct.
Right? I have mentally accepted it in very much in a similar, not identical way. The goal of the women's division for WWE is to make Charlotte the unequivocal greatest women's wrestler of all time. Now, if you're a big Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, or Asuka fan, I get why that's frustrating, but that is the goal.
Right.
So Charlotte being the one to stop the unstoppable made a lot of sense to me. I even understood and called it that in the first match, Carmella was definitely going to beat Asuka.
Right.
So she could trot around and say, this was supposed to be the best of the best. I beat them. I'm the best.
Ha, ha, ha.
That was who this person was, especially right. on the con commentary. But tonight, I thought Asuka was going to... Without the shark cage and nonsense, it felt like the time for her to win because, like I said, there's no conquering hero here.
Right.
It's not going to be Kairi Sane from NXT. It's not going to be Becky Lynch.
But this at the same time, as somebody like yourself who consistently talks about how we're in theory supposed to build to WrestleMania and all these things, the next pay-per-view is SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So Asuka never had a chance. Because if she's going to win this thing, she wins it at SummerSlam.
Then I wish we had fed Carmella somebody else for this pay-per-view.
Well, no, because you need to build the fever pitch of Asuka can't get over for a million reasons. How is Asuka going to conquer the odds?
Because
it's not like Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley, where Bobby Lashley just beat Roman Reigns. That's how it happened. It didn't happen any other way, right? This was another instance where if outside nonsense didn't happen, Asuka would have beat her.
That's the right call. I think you're right, because in every other time,
right.
that would have been perfect. Yep. It's just we've seen Asuka go from 100 to 0 fast.
So the issue is that WWE treats it like two separate things, right? Like, these two storylines should have taken place like 6 months to a year away. So Asuka could have had a couple of pay-per-view wins under her belt. It's just because they happened back-to-back that everybody's like panicking.
Yeah.
Whereas, no, the payoff is Asuka's going to beat the holy hell out of Carmella when she finally gets the chance to do it on her terms.
I'm going to predict that at SummerSlam, there is going to be a triple threat match or a handicap match for the women's championship, and the three people, as a fly hits me in the air, and the three people are Asuka, Carmella, and James Ellsworth, and Asuka's going to beat James Ellsworth for the women's title at SummerSlam. That's what I think is going to happen.
Do you know how awesome that would be?
I literally think they're going to get to the point where it's like, you insist on getting involved so much.
Let's do it.
That it's a handicap match, and so Carmella's going to beat James Ellsworth. It makes Carmella mad at Ellsworth. Maybe he exits stage left because
it's over,
the alliance is broken, and we protect the champion. Asuka wins anyway. That's my early prediction here.
Sounds about right.
That's my early prediction here. We've got a call, and we're going to take it. 508-202-1624. What we got?
Magnum in Mississippi is on the line. What's going on, Magnum?
Oh, my goodness. Long time no talk. How are you, my friend?
How y'all doing, my brothers? What's going on?
How's it going? Great to hear from you, man. And every time you call us, it's like you're doing an awesome impression of yourself because your accent is wonderful, and it's great to hear from you.
You know, I was thinking as I was listening earlier, I was wondering if this was the very first time that you guys have had two guys from Mississippi on the show night.
That could be a record.
Yeah,
and you're going to call on a night that Dolph Ziggler won the main event. That must sting just a little bit for you personally.
Well, not only that, but ironically enough, that's actually the match I want to talk about.
What?
Yeah, really.
Classic Magnum.
Let me go ahead and say, personally, my favorite match of the night was the AJ Styles Rusev match. I think Rusev, to me, he had proven previously that he belongs in the main event scene. But I think he really cemented that tonight for me.
Yep.
Whether he cemented that for Vince, who knows? But that was my personal favorite match of the night. The match I want to talk about, though, is the main event match, simply because I think it was a great match from the beginning until the very end, and then they crapped the bed on the ending. Because you would have accomplished the same thing by just saying, okay, Ziggler retains by benefit of it being a tie. You still get heat on him as a heel because he weaseled out by benefit of a tie with the win. But what does that do for starting the match over? What was the purpose of it? And then having McIntyre come in, interfere, and then Ziggler gets the win 5 seconds after the match restarted. It doesn't put any real heat on McIntyre. what are you going to do going forward with this? Is this also going to be a triple threat match? I mean, why does McIntyre deserve to be in it if they continue this to SummerSlam?
I think that there's a I think they should have extended that out a little bit longer, but I liked how perfect it was.
Oh, I liked I actually really liked the construct of the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Because I do think that there's a lot of like nonsense that was happening. They were prepared for that situation. And really it's just supposed to break your heart.
Magnum, here's my answer to your question real quick. I think the reason is because WWE, I think, really does understand, or at least even if they don't acknowledge it and make changes based on it, I do think they know what their criticisms are and what their critics say. And a lot of them recently has been all these non-finishes and, you know, cop-outs and stuff.
Right.
And so tonight what they did is, for a moment in time, they made you think they just don't have the guts to do definitive stuff, and it's going to be 4-4, and that's it. And then they restart the match, and 9 times out of 10, the baby goes over when these things sort of happen, and then he just doesn't, and it's immediate, and it's like, there's your clean finish, everybody. Or there's your definitive outcome, ending. Everybody. We want you to hate Dolph Ziggler, and now you do. We want you to hate Drew McIntyre,
and
now
you do.
Now you do. You feel bad for Seth Rollins. What happened to this guy? A month ago, he was on top of the world, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And I actually liked the whole thing.
I hated the crowd.
Oh, now we can talk about that. Magnum, thank you so much for giving us a call, brother. We'll talk to you real soon. You're welcome here anytime. You know that.
All right. Y'all take care now.
Thank you so much. Now we're going to talk about the coup de grace of this whole thing. Not Finn Balor,
seriously. Not that, because he didn't use it.
Here's it. You're right. He did win, though. Oh, Biff, and now you can jump into this conversation. Of course, we are still taking your calls, 508-202-1624. But Biff, NAI Hall of Famer, one of our dear friends who made the trip all the way down to see us and the Frog.
And the Frog. Mostly the Frog.
Mostly the Frog. That crowd, I got to tell you, man, I am not a hater of fun. But here's the thing. If you got to count down 3-2-1, it's almost like we're at the Royal Rumble once, twice, maybe even 3 times a lady.
Yeah, right.
Okay. You guys think that joke was funny 25 minutes later? You dorks.
The other thing that I just absolutely, absolutely hate, and I've talked about it on this show, is inappropriate chants is when you wouldn't chant yes during a Young Bucks match, right? Because Daniel Bryan.
No, but we will do the Marty Scurll hoot thing during a Daniel Bryan match.
Right.
I promise.
WWE fans are not intelligent when it comes to fan interaction.
They're not like savvy.
They're savvy.
They're not savvy.
Sure, we'll use savvy, even though I mean intelligent.
But the thing about tonight is, you know what happened tonight? And just like, again, and I'll let you go. But tonight, you know, here are your bullet points. Tonight, Roman Reigns went on in the middle of the show, lost without controversy. The main event was for the Intercontinental title with Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler. You have been begging the company for the belt to mean more, for Rollins to mean more, for Ziggler to mean more. They main event this show. They're doing awesome. And you jive-ass turkeys are counting down from 3:17 minutes into this match. Are you for real?
That's exactly my point. This is why Roman Reigns is where he is. Because like him or hate him, you're invested in his matches. Because you either hate him and you hate watch, or you love him and you're cheering the guy on. And you, and all of you that sit there and go, Roman sucks and Roman's terrible and he's the reason why Monday Night Raw was the lowest rated Raw ever, it's all Roman Reigns' fault because he's the top guy. Roman's fault. Well, what do you want instead? We want Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins needs to be the guy.
I've said that.
You've said that.
I'm guilty.
Right?
Here I am.
Yeah, but you know what?
Admitting it.
You didn't do the second part of this. And the second part of this is have an entire building prove to the back that, no, we don't actually, because it's more important to us to not be invested in this match and count down every 30 seconds.
We talked about this right before the show started off the air, and I think it's a point worth bringing up. John Cena himself, once on Raw, a couple times on Raw.
Multiple times.
Gave you the formula to kill him. He goes, hey, stop booing me. Start cheering for someone else. And then when AJ Styles in the summer of 2016 rolled around, they started going, let's go Cena, AJ Styles. And even Cena goes, You hear that? They're not doing the Cena sucks part because they like you. They don't just hate me. And guess what happened? John Cena began to fade away, and AJ Styles is...
As if Thanos snapped his fingers.
And AJ Styles is still the champion.
Right.
Look what happened when you started buying the shirts and cheering for
picking
someone.
A guy.
And instead what you did tonight was Roman Reigns... If and I'm talking, if Roman Reigns fan, congratulations. Tonight is a huge victory for you.
Oh, huge.
Even though he lost the match. Because what Vince McMahon does, here's the real reason. We could talk about dollars and pops and at least you care and at least you're making noise. That's not the reason.
No.
Roman Reigns is on a pace to break the all-time main event record because that is what Vince McMahon wants.
Right.
That is the only answer, the realest answer, the truest answer. That is the answer, okay? It's not a good answer. It's not a bad answer.
It's the answer.
It's the answer. And when you go, no, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And then you, like you said, so he goes, fine. What if I give you Ziggler and
what
Rollins?
What do you want? We want Ziggler versus Rollins.
And then you don't pay attention the whole time.
Yep.
The whole time. So here's the thing. You're going to be jerks in the main event to Roman Reigns, or you're going to be jerks in the main event to Seth Rollins. Well, I want Roman Reigns, so that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You're blowing it.
Yes.
You're blowing it.
Come on, Pittsburgh.
You don't even understand how stupid you were tonight.
There's a fine line between having fun and then taking away.
Again, I used 25 minutes later.
I used the term hijack when the crowd hijacks the show.
I don't know if it reached that point, but they took away from a great match.
Hijacked that match, right? Because it became about them. Because when you're counting down in a match that doesn't... The countdown is the whole thing. Yeah. There's only one 3-2-1.
People are saying they weren't bored the whole time. Every 30 seconds, they either counted down 3-2-1 every minute on the minute, or
every 30 seconds.
When they took the clock away, they just started guesstimating in their head if a minute had passed.
I mean,
it was super annoying. That match was way too good for me to get distracted the whole time.
I felt like the crowd ruined the match with Brock and Roman at WrestleMania. I wouldn't say that about tonight. But they definitely took away.
Well, because everybody had emergency beach balls.
Right,
they started chanting for beach balls at some point during this match.
But again, this
Brock
wasn't the time.
Right.
So again, and it's fine because maybe you like Roman Reigns. A lot of people do. I don't hate Roman Reigns, but you can't boo him anymore if you're going to just do this to Seth Rollins. That's my grand point here.
Exactly.
Well, pay attention. Play along.
Just like Liam said, they pay attention when Roman's in the ring. So
give them a reason to change things up or nothing will change. And I'm not sitting here on a crusade being like, my God almighty, we have to stop Roman Reigns. If this is the way it is, then this is the way it is.
Right.
But can you stop booing? Can I go to WrestleMania and have people not hate it? If everybody got together and like, we like Roman Reigns now. Oh, fantastic. Awesome. I'm going to go to WrestleMania.
It's going
to
be fun.
People are going to cheer. Great. I'm just really disappointed in that crowd. 508-202-1624. We'll talk about anything you want as it comes to pertains to Extreme Rules 2018. What do you got?
Jordan in Massachusetts gave us a call. What's going on, Jordan?
Oh, we can't do that.
Hold on, Jordan. There's too much loud noise there, buddy. Hold on.
Jordan, we're going to try again in just a second.
Yeah,
what I want to talk about now is not just like the don't chant, because if you want to, you know, you paid your money to chant.
Well, I always say constructive chanting, right? If you wanted to chant for 30 minutes, burn it down, or show off, or something. Like
it wasn't about putting yourself over tonight. It was your choice of just...
You know, because that's my biggest pet peeve.
Get into the performance.
My biggest pet peeve is inappropriate chants.
What did you think of the match?
I really liked the match. I thought it was really fun and really well-paced. These quote-unquote Iron Man matches are really tough because they have multiple falls. So you have to build to a crescendo multiple times, / you have to build to a crescendo in a time period, which is very difficult to do.
They did not disappoint.
You know, but they didn't disappoint. I thought they did a great job. The use of McIntyre was awesome.
We're going to take the call on the line. Jordan should be potted up and ready to go. We are watching Mixler. We are watching the chat. We see you all out there. Not exactly sure who WZAM is. But we don't have to agree to get along and talk about this. I think the booking of the Iron Man match was trash. Why does Dolph get so many pinfalls in 4 seconds? Then nothing happens. That's how you bore a crowd. No, to me, in my opinion, for what it's worth, that's how you build suspense. How in the world is Seth Rollins going to overcome this? He's down like 3 pinfalls early. How is he going to overcome this? The fact that the strategy they had to actually put psychology involved. McIntyre comes down and goes, yep, you're right. I'm going to cost Ziggler a fall, but I'm going to beat you down so bad it'll affect you the next 20 minutes, and it'll wind up working out for him. And for a long time, it did. The fact that it wasn't just pinpalooza for the sake of look at these guys are spot artists if they want to be. This match was the most thought-out main event of a pay-per-view I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And for me, I really enjoyed it, and to me, that was the point. Yeah. Have it be like, what is Ziggler going to do? He's down so early, and then
roar
back.
I do think that the sudden death was a little rushed. It could have dragged out a little bit longer.
Oh, I loved it.
But I do think that WWE was also just like, we got to get out of here.
No, I absolutely loved it. 508-202-1624, 508-202-1624. Who we got?
It's Jordan again.
Jordan, hi. What's up, Jordan? Let's try that again without you sounding like, you know, you're trying to call us through a dog whistle.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. It was some sort of Kennel from Hell match or something. Or Kennel from Hell, excuse me. But yeah, guys, I'm excited to talk some wrestling. It's a hot summer evening, and what better way to spend it than talking to the New Age Insiders?
Oh, my God.
I agree.
How many game shows do you host?
I'm telling you guys.
Are you available?
The game show in the world, you will be the first guest. I promise you, right here, right now.
Oh, my God.
Are you available to do stuff for us?
Your parents just must have like a separate like room for you where no one can hear anything, right? They just put you in there like, Jordan, just get it all out for about 2 hours, hon, and then dinner's at 6.
That's it, man. Every weekend before the pay-per-views. That's how it works.
It's unbelievable. I can like see you right now and your hair is like swirled and swooshed. I'm just like sure of it. You're like, what is that?
Was like a little Superman?
Was it Jimmy Neutron?
Jimmy Neutron.
Sure. Jordan, don't ever let the world change you. You're full of
I also think Jimmy Neutron might be a little too old for Jordan. But
if we were in the 50s, I'd tell you that you were full of moxie, kid.
Yeah.
Speaking of moxie, we didn't see Dean
John Moxley.
We didn't see Dean Ambrose tonight. What a stretch. Jordan, why did you call other than to talk about you being on Figure That Phrase?
With Jordan WS himself. That's how we do things.
Figure That Phrase. Go.
No, but yeah, I didn't think this pay-per-view was terrible tonight, guys. If I'm being entirely honest, all joking aside, I thought it was a solid B pay-per-view. Some fun things happened. Some title changes happened. I'm really surprised by Jeff Hardy and Shinsuke.
Right.
I was really looking forward to that match, and I didn't hate what they did. And I'm hearing like rumors and rumblings that maybe there was someone with Jeff's back, and if that was the case, I get it. And I thought it was a fun, short of surprising moment. But yeah, I was really looking forward to that match. I like both guys. I think they're both really charismatic in a weird sort of out there way, and I was excited to see what they could do. And even though I'm excited Nakamura got the title, I'm a little bummed that we didn't get anything. Really.
What if Jeff Hardy did heroin and Nakamura was really Sting?
And then Vince was so mad
that he sent Randy Orton out there. He's like, "There's
just
no,
kick him in the nuts.
Just kick him in the nuts and leave. There'll be no continuation of this story."
Randy Orton had the easiest day of work ever. He just showed up, put on his underpants, and kicked Jeff Hardy in the balls.
Like, what was that about?
Jordan, real quick, was that your match of the night? What's your match of the night from Extreme Rules 2018?
I'd have to say either the main event or the B team. Just because I thought it was a fun moment.
All right. Well, you have now sparked a conversation. I love taking these calls because now we haven't talked about the U.S. title match yet. Let's do that. Jordan.
I do want to shout out Pedro Henrique, 119, is listening from Brazil.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for listening, Henrique, and we hope that we're doing
it. Is anybody listening in Antarctica?
If anybody's listening out in Antarctica, we'll send you a shirt. Jordan, it's always awesome to see you at the shows, and thanks so much for giving us a call, buddy. You're welcome here anytime. He is gone. Well, then he can't acknowledge my praise. So it's time to talk about the U.S. title match really quick. I just had it potted up, and now I'll get it back in a second. Because he said Jordan gave the pay-per-view a B, which prompts me to think, what are the wrestling world doing? It's been up for about a half an hour. I know there was hundreds of votes. Let me see what people think of Extreme Rules 2018, the report card. I can't find it. Okay, so far, 42% is winning, giving it somewhere in the C or D range. 19% would give it an F. Which means right now, what is that by my math, 61% of the audience, 61%, is that right?
Sure, more than half.
Right, would give this pay-per-view a C, D, or an F. I don't think that. I thought this was a pretty good show.
I'd say it's a B show.
Yeah. That's what I gave it.
I thought it was a B show. So, Biff, let's have you jump in here. Let's talk about the U.S. title match. whether it's injury or not, I mean, we could talk about the smush factor.
I don't think it is.
I have no panic about that. I just think they wanted to make Nakamura look like. I think the fear that, or the, I think the cup of coffee they finally had here was, man, we had Nakamura win the Royal Rumble and basically did nothing with it.
Well,
if we want to stop him from spiraling, let's just have him crush this thing.
Right. Or
that's all I took away from
this. This entire pay per view to me was just like, hey, you know what? We're just going to give the fans everything they want and see what happens. Because
and watch them complain anyway.
Yeah, and watch them complain anyway. Because the B team won. The Bludgeon, Hell No didn't win, but
that's surprising.
That was very surprising.
We're going to talk way more about this pay-per-view live Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on NewAgeInsiders.com because there's just too much to talk about here.
Right.
So we'll talk about that.
But it's like
too.
Nakamura just crushed Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Right? The Intercontinental title match had a definitive finish, and Roman Reigns just lost at some point in the middle of this show.
It's pretty unbelievable if you look back. I thought it was a pretty good wrestling show.
Yeah, it was.
And for the record, it now a couple people have voted since I've talked about it. It's amazing what the internet will do. We've already seen it jump up. So now it's even numbers. 60% would give it somewhere in a C, D, or F range, and an even 40% would give it an A or a B. 8% would give it that A. 32% would give it that B. Tough crowd, because I thought it was a pretty good show. I don't know if it's just a lot of Seth Rollins fans that the last thing you see is him losing, and that's tough.
I mean,
Biff, go for it. What do you think?
I hope Jeff Hardy's okay, because that was eerily reminiscent of the Sting incident.
Well, I think he is, because they announced like 10 minutes later that he's going to be fighting for it again on SmackDown.
Okay. He already has a rematch.
It was just and Randy came out, and it was just odd.
Randy part's weird.
That because the Randy part would be Vince sending a message where he's like, "Get out there and kick him in the balls," because I'm so mad at him right now.
Yeah, actually kick him in the balls.
I think that was everything we saw tonight with the U.S. title. I think was 100% about Nakamura and nothing about punishment or
because
people are going to talk about the DUI and all that stuff. I in no way think that those things are related.
That would have happened already.
He won the title after that.
I just in no way think they're related. No. I think that tonight was about making, like, really, without exaggeration, pulling Nakamura out of the drain as he spirals down after winning the Royal Rumble, what feels like 10 years ago.
Right.
We got a call on the line, and then we're going to keep on talking, but we want to take as many calls as we can. We tell you that we're getting your voice out there literally across the globe, and that's our goal here at the New Age Insiders. 508-202-1624. Who's on the line?
Let's head further out west. We got Richard in Colorado is on the line. What's going on, Richard? Richard.
Hello.
Hey. What's up, Richard? Colorado's a beautiful state. I've been there before. Really nice place.
Yeah, I know. Next time you come out here, we got to hang.
Deal. I will call Richard first. Richard, what did you think of Extreme Rules?
I was going to call Mary Swanson.
Nope. Richard.
Overall, there was a lot of things that I thought that they did right tonight. The only thing that I was pretty shocked at is I thought the Bludgeon Brothers, I thought Daniel Bryan that was honestly going to just beat them both by himself.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah, I thought Kane was 100% going to make the triumphant save.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I definitely, when Kane came down, it was like...
in a bootleg.
Here we go. And then they just didn't. Now, so here's the thing about it. I am very indifferent about the fact they didn't win.
Yeah, I know.
It would have been fun, I think, if they were. I don't know if Kane is not ready to make that kind of commitment because...
Or we're trying to stretch this thing out for SummerSlam.
Something like that. Maybe that's the case. Maybe we only need 8 pay-per-views a year. Wait, who said that? But as somebody who's not like, I can't believe they didn't win and Daniel Bryan's buried and Kane is also in trouble somehow 30 years later. No, I don't feel any of those things. I just think I am surprised. I will chalk it up to surprise. I thought this was one of the easier calls of the night.
Yeah.
But this show was its number one intention was to surprise me.
I mean, I had my tag team predictions dead wrong. I had
I had it the other way around. So. I had it the other way around too.
And I don't dislike what happened. And it really felt like Team Hell No was a thing to become champions again.
This wasn't the thing that I was the surest on. That was Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman for me, which I nailed.
Turbo underscore lover 6, because Turbo underscore lover 1 through 5 were taken. Kane's mayor election is August 3rd. He might not be able to commit.
That makes sense, because it's 2018, and Kane has to become mayor, so he can't wrestle now.
Yep.
That's a sentence that we said.
Because that's what we do, because the mayor can only wrestle if he loses.
But
if Ty has to try to oil up a pig.
Well, most importantly, Luke Harper is still the tag team champions, and you know what that means.
I don't. But yeah, every day, keep going. Every single day of the week, he insists that I do. We'll take the call on the line. I do want to talk about the B team winning, but we are going to talk about anything and everything that pertains to Extreme Rules and whatever this person wants as well.
It's still Colorado Dick.
Oh, it's Colorado Dick. I thought that. I'm sorry. So, Richard, you go for it.
Yeah, because one thing I also wanted to touch on was just two more things real quick, and then we'll let another – I'll definitely let somebody else take over.
Go for it.
But how about – for one, I was definitely – I was rooting for Rusev. I'm glad that he at least had a good showing tonight, so that was good to see. But then the other thing that almost surprised me was how about the fact that Bobby Lashley got a near fall with the Stalin suplex on Roman Reigns?
Yeah. let's just talk about that now.
Yeah, because now is the time.
Colorado Dick, you're the man. Thanks so much for giving us a shout. It's always awesome to hear from you. And next time I won't forget that you're still on the line. I promise. That's my bet.
All right. Sounds good. You guys have a good show tonight.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. So let's talk about it. Because here's the thing. We do this all the time. Wednesday night, we're live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on NewAgeInsiders.com.
Very
right?
good.
Biffin, I want you part of this conversation. Even if we take a call, I want this. We're going to take five solid minutes for us.
This one's for us, okay?
Because I want to talk about this. We do this all the time. We do it with the Women's Revolution, where we go, hey, progress happens over time, and then all of a sudden these milestones are worth pointing out so you are aware that things are changing.
Right.
It's important to note with John Cena and his climb down the ladder, right?
Right.
And I'm not telling you that Roman Reigns is climbing down the ladder, but what I need to tell you is, for people that consistently bring up the argument, Roman Reigns does nothing but main event, nothing but win, and he's forced down my throat, you need to acknowledge that tonight he went on in the middle of the show and lost. He doesn't win all the time, and it's not as bad as everybody makes it think all the time.
The last pay-per-view that he won, do you remember what that was?
The one to get to Brock,
the Elimination Chamber to get to Brock Lesnar.
Which feels like it was almost last year.
Yeah,
February.
It was like early February.
Something like that.
Right?
And so, again, I'm not going to backtrack and try to rewrite history and say that I haven't said the Roman Reigns experience is frustrating, because it is. But the experience I'm talking about is stuff like keeping Brock Lesnar off the show so you'll hate that.
Right.
Which is and
ultimately so he can win.
Frustrating to the point where
he did. He beat Jinder Mahal at Money in the Bank.
Okay, yay. There you go. Well, okay, so at the same time though, neither of those victories were for the WWE title.
Yes.
Neither of those victories, didn't they go on last?
No, they didn't go on last.
So the point to make here is it's not as bad as you might think. That's for your sanity. That's not me preaching at you.
Right.
That's so you, when you go like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy wins everything every time.
He doesn't.
No,
and it's really doesn't. And again, is the Brock Lesnar part frustrating? Yes. Is him main eventing all these WrestleManias when for the life of me, man, I just want somebody else once. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's people I don't like. I just want it to be somebody other than Roman Reigns, just for the variety of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
he can even be on the second to last.
Exactly. He can win something very, very important.
Yeah.
Just somebody else close.
Go on last.
And that I feel too. I'm not rewriting history, like I said, but for all of our sanities, you need to acknowledge that if you think that this guy main events every show and wins said main events every time, that is not the case.
Yeah.
So the conversation needs to be intelligent. And for that, you need to kind of put all the facts on the table.
Right.
What do you think of the fact that Bobby Lashley, it was Bob versus Dog.
Bob versus Dog, baby.
Full credit to Biff on that. Bob versus Dog.
Yeah.
And Lashley just won. What do you think about that?
Look, I'm happy about it. I like Bobby Lashley. I think that there's a lot of value to Bobby Lashley. Now, I also still think that Bobby Lashley should be on SmackDown, but
agreed.
WWE likes Bobby Lashley, and he was the closest thing actually to being WWE champion, right? And I think that he's kind of proven coming back that they have a plan for him and they want to use him, and I'm okay with it. I like him. I want to see what him versus Brock Lesnar looks like for a number of reasons. Most of it being it's not Roman Reigns.
Yes. We talked about how the rumors, and I hate going off the rumors, and I hate going off dirt sheet stuff, but it circulates the blood so much on the internet that it's bound to become part of the conversations. And one of the early rumors here is that Brock Lesnar is going to work SummerSlam, and he's going to defend his championship against Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. And what we talked about is, if that's true, how do we get them both in the match? How can we take tonight and have Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns have a case that they deserve Lesnar?
Yeah, well, because that's when I heard that, I thought this thing was going to end in a schmoz.
And you were right to.
Right, when it was, oh, Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns isn't closing the show, like I assumed. It was just going to be in the middle of this show. Oh, yeah, there's no way. This is going to be like Roman Reigns versus Rusev at, was it Dallas?
Yep.
Or SummerSlam.
So this might be an unpopular thing to say, but here it goes. I really believe that Brock Lesnar is going to hold the Universal title until WrestleMania 35.
I would not be shocked.
I really, 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 yeah. really, really think Vince McMahon wants him to be the Universal champion at his UFC fight.
Yes.
I really do.
Wants that picture.
I also think he wants two things. It's 99.1% wise, but I think he wants Brock Lesnar to be the WWE Universal Champion at UFC. And I think he wants to book Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley.
Right.
And so now, after tonight's victory, I now believe that's the Universal title match at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. As a continuation of, and this could happen, I could be wrong, and this could change on a dime.
Yeah.
But I actually don't think Roman Reigns is in that match. I actually just think it's going to be Roman Reigns. I think it's actually just going to be Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley.
I think so, too.
Because I think Vince wants that match, and I think, again, take a look at the world around you.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, again, and I know it's this guy, but why would he main event SummerSlam now?
I mean, Bob versus the Beast is money. If you're going to bring back Bobby Lashley, this is the crash course that he goes on.
Yeah, they're both these fighters.
Beat Roman, beat Brock.
The interesting
fight Brock.
The interesting thing is going to be that Brock answers his terms tomorrow. On Raw, Kurt Angle said, Brock Lesnar, you need to come to Monday Night Raw and say what your terms are to wrestle at SummerSlam, or I'm stripping you of the Universal title, right? That's what Kurt Angle said.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, we can get a BS storyline where Brock Lesnar goes, yeah, I'll fight Bobby Lashley, but I'm also, just to prove that I'm better than Roman Reigns, he gets to be in the match too.
This is a conversation for another day, but where does this briefcase factor into all these things? Because my theory here is, and, you know, we'll get there, we'll see, but I'm almost convinced that Braun Strowman doesn't cash in on Brock Lesnar.
You know, it's really interesting. I got it. Before I can make any predictions about that, I need to see what Brock Lesnar says tomorrow.
And I'm looking forward. It's a reason to watch the show.
This is what ends up. Look at what happens when WWE actually has to react to something.
Right.
Right. When WWE has to react to something, it's Hulk Hogan's reinstated and Brock Lesnar, you got to show up on Monday.
And now people are going to watch the show because guess what? People are going to feel that there is a really good chance I'm going to see one of, if not both, Hulk Hogan and Brock Lesnar tomorrow.
Yeah.
On Monday night.
Right.
So that's a reason for a lot of people to watch. It's a reason for a lot of people to get upset. It's also a reason for a lot of people to watch. That's just the bitter reality of it. And tonight's not the night.
Yeah.
Wednesday we'll talk about Hulk Hogan because we'll know if he showed up on Raw or SmackDown or not. And
that's good.
If it's worth talking about. We'll talk about Hogan then if there's a topic. Because quite frankly,
there's nothing. Him going back onto a webpage is not news.
Exactly. If he shows up tomorrow night, we'll talk about it. But the reality is just the only footnote I'll make about Hogan is...
Yeah, watch Strowman cash in tomorrow.
Right. How great would that be?
Well, it felt like Braun got the briefcase in order for lack of a better term, the easy way out to get the title off of Brock.
I don't mean to put this out there in the universe, but you just better hope that they didn't put the briefcase on Braun Strowman so Brock Lesnar could beat him to show the world just how big and scary he is. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
That's not impossible. You know,
but here's the thing. You're not going to have back-to-back briefcase holders cash in and lose.
I hope not.
Right.
But this year, we did go one for one. And if they reset every year, Bliss was successful. I know the back-to-back men would be unsuccessful.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is the men.
Speaking of Braun, can we talk about that for one moment? Kevin Owens.
Let's talk about the steel cage.
I didn't call the actual spot, but the
result, the concept.
We'll take one more call if it's out there. If not, we're going to talk about the cage. We'll talk about Rusev, and then we'll wrap up and bleed everything else over into the
Wednesday
night on NewAgeInsiders.com and twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Or you can be our last caller if you want, 508-202-1624, 508-202-1NAI. Let's talk about the steel cage match, and yeah, I'm somebody that when I saw bits and pieces and clips and theirs and whatevers of Kevin Steen that I was like, that guy's pretty impressive. I can understand why people like him so much. He seems to be really fun. If he ever came to town, I'd go to a show. Then he signs with NXT, and I go, wow, this guy's ceiling is higher than I expected. He is really a star if they want him to be. Then he main evented on the debuted on the main roster, proved all of that to be true, plus a little bit more. And then with the funny thing about this guy is, as somebody who started about 3 years ago with midline expectations of an indie guy that didn't look the part, now he is so regularly impressive.
Yeah,
that it's something that needs to be kind of,
I think, their workhorse.
What he is able to do is raise his own bar, which is already so high,
yeah,
all the time.
Yep.
And what he's also doing is, like I said, you know, you look at that guy and you go, yeah, why are you so good at this? You look like an out-of-shape cop. You look like a dick cop.
Yeah.
And instead, you turn into a dick awesome wrestler.
I mean, everybody knew he was a great professional wrestler, but nobody realized just how great of a WWE superstar he would become.
That's a great way to put it.
Because he has, and if we're going to put over Kevin Owens, I won't shut up, but I mean, he's great. These bumps are scary to see.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about it, if you look back,
but he does it.
You're right, but looking back, anyone that was foolish about his transition, if you weren't just talking about his body, you were crazy, because if you look back at the old clips, he was always a sports entertainer, if you will.
Right.
He was always shouting at the camera, shouting at the crowd.
He always catch your eye and catch your memory.
But he was doing the things they want.
Right.
Yeah. Memorable promos, looking at the hard cam, shouting at the audience, standing out, being in a four corners match and standing out.
Yep.
And he was always, and now don't get me wrong, he's a damn good pro wrestler. If you need to hear me say that, there it is. But he was always good at sports entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
And he's awesome at it.
No, yeah.
He always had it.
He is, and you look at him, and he's not always in the title picture, but he's always doing something big and relevant.
He main events regularly.
Who's the last guy to beat Strowman, even without a pin? Who's the last guy to beat him at all? Right. Was it Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Was that it? You know what I mean?
No, because I don't think Roman Reigns ever beat him.
Yes, he did. He was the last one. Remember, Strowman beat everybody, and then Reigns beat him.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Elimination Chamber.
The Elimination Chamber.
That's what I meant. Was that the last one?
That was the last time. The Elimination Chamber?
They beat each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But you look at Kevin Owens, and it's just like, that guy, they're asking him to do a variety of things. I need you to be funny. I need you to be good at pro wrestling. I need you to take very, very scary bumps. Because think about how scary it is being in a porta potty.
Think about, but seriously, you think he was in there?
I think so. Wow. Because think about how scary it is to be in that porta potty and then have it without being able to brace yourself for the impact. All of a sudden, you're just going to get hit and fall off. 5 to 5 feet.
I'm not sure he was in there.
Me either.
But
I got to think there's some sort of like padding mechanism or something
maybe
in there.
But the thing about,
the crowd would have seen it and probably taken pictures of it if he had like crawled in from the side.
But he is willing to get beat up. And,
sure, yeah.
And then like tonight, I mean, that spot's, I mean, yeah,
it's,
that was,
well, it's also
incredible.
Your, well, and the thing is that, and this is a, yeah, this is a subtle thing, but every time Braun Strowman shoulder tackles him, he does a backflip.
Oh, right. My God. Kevin Owens' profile picture on Twitter, the avatar for like a week, was the spot they did on Raw where they were outside the ring and Strowman shoulder tackled him and Owens did a backflip. And his picture, Kevin Owens' picture, was the backflip bump of him getting hit so hard. He's so amazing. And like Kevin Owens' Twitter header is that picture of Triple H about to hit Kurt Angle right in the mouth while Kurt Angle's kind of like looking away, and Triple H, and that's because he's a bad guy and that's the boss, and so that's his Twitter header.
Yeah,
although
right,
he's blacked out again now.
Oh, is he now? Yeah. Okay, well he'll get through his emo period.
It's very sad.
He won.
You know, and it's just like, I'm just also really happy that I called the
Kevin would win via Braun.
Yeah.
But Shania Twain has to play Wen now.
Okay. Yeah. Really quick, before we take the call, it'll be our last call, and then we'll talk about the main event. It'll be a great way to end, because that'll also go on last. Imagine how that worked out. What's next for Braun Strowman? He's got the briefcase. He's sort of in this weird limbo when it comes to Brock. What does he do? Does he do something in the meantime? Does he go after Brock Lesnar? What does Kevin Owens do now? He lives in a world without Sami Zayn, so that actually can't be the answer this time.
Yeah.
So what's next for both of them?
I think Kevin Owens will find himself in talks with this Intercontinental title picture. I think that that's what we end up seeing. He kind of slots in over there. And Braun Strowman will be a part of some sort of... If Brock Lesnar comes on and Braun doesn't cash in, which I don't think he actually will.
You don't want him to, because he's not going to win.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar's terms is like, you got to figure out. There's no viable challengers. And for the next, because it's 5 weeks to SummerSlam, the next four consist of some sort of tournament situation.
Okay. I think Kevin Owens is, unfortunately, if you ask me what I think, not what I want, I think Kevin Owens is unfortunately going to find himself in something that we don't care about nearly as much as we want to.
Yeah.
And Braun Strowman's going to lumber around and beat some people up and wait for an opportunity that I don't know when it's coming to do something with that briefcase. Yeah. Did he even carry to the ring tonight?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he carry it to the ring? Okay. Well, that's good at least.
He has it on his shirt now, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, well, but he can just cash in the shirt. 508-202-1624. 508-202. The last call at 1 NAI.
Luke in Massachusetts gave us a call. What's up, Luke?
Hey, what's up? First time caller. I'm really excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for being from Massachusetts. It's a hell of a state.
Are you Bren123 Luke?
Yes,
on
I
Twitter?
Am.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Well, Biff knows you.
I know.
I thought the main event was amazing, but looking back on it, yeah, I think the crowd kind of ruined it. And Seth Rollins himself, I saw on Twitter, he tweeted after the match, 10 ellipses, 9 ellipses, 8 ellipses, all the way down to 0, so he was really pissed about it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I saw that.
Luke, I don't like to overreact to these things, and it didn't ruin the night or, quote, ruin the match. Ruin is such a strong term, right? But
it
was so distracting from something that was awesome, and I can't believe I'm seeing a bunch of people being like, well, yeah, that's what happens when you put on a super boring main event. It's like, man, I don't know if it gets a lot better in WWE than Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler
WWE fans, right. What do you want?
Honestly, what do you want? And... the biggest thing for me, not just about a wrestling fan who's like, man, be not paying attention. It's like, you guys are a bunch of dorks if you thought that joke was funny 20 minutes into it, man. You're 20 minutes worth of that, and you think
It's like exactly what they did 2 years ago at SummerSlam after they unveiled the Universal Championship. This belt sucks. We want a new belt through the entire match, and it just hurt the match again.
Luke, I thought about that. You're 100,000% right. What do you think of the fact that – let's talk about the match itself, because we've already told the crowd that they blew it, right? F-minus to the crowd. I thought the match itself was really good. What do you think is – I'll ask you the same thing that I asked these guys about Strowman and Owens. What do you think is next for these guys? What do you think is next for Dolph Ziggler and his Intercontinental title? What do you think is next for Seth Rollins? Like, where do we go from here after tonight where, in fairness, you know, Ziggler won? You know what I mean? Like, there's a small little, you know, McIntyre part of it, but, you know, he won tonight.
Yeah, but that's also a part of who he is.
Right, he won tonight. That's what heels do. So, Luke, what do you think is to come?
I'm not really sure, because going into this, I thought there's a chance Dean Ambrose was going to come in, like a lot of people did. But now that he didn't, and then Seth Rollins just lost, I'm not really sure, because I think that was it for his Intercontinental rematch. So maybe Elias again or something.
Colin will love
nothing,
that.
I don't think anything amazing is going to happen, but I think it'll be fine. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, I don't know either. They could go a lot of directions with this. Maybe they do the McIntyre thing. They have him turn on him a lot quicker than people think. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of intrigue. You go ahead, Luke. What else you got?
I also don't hate Dolph Ziggler, but I think now he's really good. I really do think that, but it's just hard because he never got that United States rematch, did he? For the championship, he just left on the ground.
No, he didn't want it. Why would he get a rematch? He didn't want it in the first place.
Yeah, he won it and said, no, thank you.
Yeah, why would he care about getting it back? He didn't care about having it. You know what I mean? Yeah, he didn't even lose the belt. He's like, screw it. That would be like if the trash man knocked on your door and was like, I think you left this outside. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you can have that. Thank you. Luke, thank you so much for giving us a call, brother. It's hope it's not your last time, but what a great first time call.
Thank you.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
All right. So before we go, I do want to talk about Rusev really quick. Because this was his
main event.
It was his main event. He didn't go on last, but he did go on last for SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
And he fought AJ Styles for the title, and man, I thought it was damn good. And you had me, for somebody who was 1,000% convinced he had no chance, a couple times I really held my breath.
We talked about this on the pre-show, and I'll reiterate this. I didn't think that Rusev had a shot of winning this, but Rusev did have a shot of winning a WWE championship a year from now in this match. Because if he doesn't perform and he doesn't live up to the hype, then, yeah, this is it, man. One and done. It's over. Congratulations. But I think Rusev delivered in a big-time match. He was never going to beat AJ Styles, at least right now. But, yeah, if we're talking about Extreme Rules next year and he is in the mix, then, yeah, man, you're legit. You can be the WWE champion. That's what you proved tonight. And Rusev fans should have a newfound hope and a newfound spark.
Here's how I hope that Rusev can find a way to use WWE evil for our benefit once or twice, right? I will forever complain about the outdated and overused trope that is foreign bad guy. You know what I mean? However, that will forever be a part of WWE. They're always going to have a big foreign bad guy. And so what I hope tonight is, we used to have Del Rio, then we went to Jinder Mahal. Now I hope it's Rusev, because although it's a terrible typecasting, not the ceiling we all know he has, etc., 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 if you told me he won a WWE title one day because you get to play this awful part we keep casting.
Yeah, right.
That's better than nothing. You know what I mean? And so tonight, what I think he proved is, the next time we need someone to hate America and be the WWE champion at the same time, it can be you, big fella. You know what I mean? That's what I think he accomplished tonight, which I think a lot of his fans already knew. But I mean, I hope that everybody saw that as well. And I got to tell you, for a night that was full of surprises, there was one or two times where it was like, oh my God, he's going to win.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of wrestling, is when you don't know. I don't know if Rusev will ever. The number five trend in the United States right now, at still like an hour and a half after the show ended, is Rusev Day. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So just think about that. His match was 2 hours ago. Imagine that. And so I just thoughts. I will get up the poll in 1 second. Biff, Bill, Liam, your final thoughts, your final two sentences, and your final grade for Extreme Rules 2018, with the caveat that we will continue any talking points that didn't get covered tonight because there's so much to go over, and we take your calls. We'll talk about Wednesday night, newageinsiders.com.
Ended up being a really good, entertaining show. Mm-hmm. I saw some negativity about it going into it, and it all seems silly now because, hey, they put on a good night of wrestling. I can't be mad at anything, really, and I hope Kevin Owens is okay. And thank you guys for letting me come on the show last night, or the pre-show and the post-show, and shout out to everybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right? We're so happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you guys. This has been really fun.
We love you, Biff. We sincerely do.
My big takeaway is that if you're so caught up in hate, and this is for the fans, if you're so caught up in hating WWE, you're going to miss the good things that they're doing. This show was not a D show.
No.
This show was far better than that. The wrestling was great. And we as a collective fan base need to figure out what we want.
Rusev.
Yeah.
Solid B.
Solid B. I might even give it a B+. I mean, the only real head scratcher tonight was Nakamura and Jeff Hardy. Other than that,
the B team winning.
Yeah. Other than that, you got what you wanted. You had a great main event. Rusev put on a great show. Styles came out on top at the end. Alexa Bliss won. Yep. And that's pretty much it. To give it a solid B+.
I enjoyed the pay-per-view. It surprised me. There were things that I thought were...
Yeah.
We didn't shoehorn Hulk Hogan into this thing for no good reason whatsoever.
As much as you wanted it to.
Bobby Lashley, this is not a knock on Roman Reigns. This isn't some sort of weird internet victory lap. Bobby Lashley just won, and that's not a comment. That's just, I was so surprised. I was surprised the B-team won. I was surprised Bobby Lashley won. Rusev made me really think there was a chance in a match that I thought he had -1% chance of winning. Kevin Owens continued to show that there is nothing he can't do. There's just not. If it's a wrestling thing, he can do it. I thought the women did well. I just thought it was a good show. And as we close out, we're just shy of 400 votes. It'll be up for a few days, so no matter when you're listening to this, if it's early in the week, it'll be up. You can, if you're listening like before Raw, go to at New Age Insiders on Twitter and vote. There's still time. And right now, 43-18 is 51. 51% would give it a C, D, or an F, with 43% prevailing with a C or a D. 39% would give it an A or a B, 31 being a B. Only 8% would give it an A. I think that B territory is right where you should be, and only 31% of the audience seems to agree, which is, you know, those are the numbers. That's just what they are in front of us. And so, you know, maybe we're wrong because majority rules. Thank you so much for joining us. If you liked what you heard, we are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on NewAgeInsiders.com and twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. You can find everything we're doing on NewAgeInsiders.com, the Patreon, the shirts. We are going to All In. We are part of Podcast Row and a media outlet for All In Chicago. We're super excited for that. As SummerSlam rolls around, we'll let you know what we're doing with the network affiliates to put on a really great weekend of SummerSlam coverage. We have a lot of things cooking over here at the New Age Insiders, and thank you for coming along and giving us a reason to keep on going. Big shout out to Biff, Hall of Famer, true friend.
Thank you. Great
to see you. Thank you so much for coming, buddy. It really was a pleasure. Please come all the time. Anytime. Live here. Do that. Chip, wherever you are, I hope you're safe, you idiot.
Damn it, Chip.
Big shout out to everyone out there. And my name has been Jason Maul.
I am Liam Streger.
And I'm Mill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during these broadcasts, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI, the website where you find us every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We are the Wrestling Radio Awards 2018 live show of the year, after all. It's NewAgeInsiders.com. We'll see you Wednesday. Biff, we love you. And thank you for making us the premier place for wrestling fans to call in, discuss, and be heard. We out. I've never been on the same sidewalk as a steeple. Maybe